Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. It is a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if you ask me nicely, I will lick the back of your ears even after you haven't washed the back of your ears in 2 months. You know how it gets that weird little smell if you don't really wash it good? Ooh, baby, my guest today. You know him. You love him. You've seen him on Abby's. You've seen him on Abby's. Busy Tonight. A Million Little Things. Dumplin'. The Mick. The Family Lamp. Gilmore Girls. A Year in the Life. Documentary Now. Bajillion Dollar Properties. Mm. Transparent.
It's got a mmm out of that.
You forgot one of your credits, and that was maybe my favorite reaction. Mmm, it's Sam Pancake.
I was so sick that day. I remember when we did Bajillion, I did it with Drew Drogi, Andrew Tarver, who isn't in love with.
A maniac. I love him
so much. But I was so sick, and yet I still, with permission, kissed Drew Tarver on the mouth.
Oh, Drew will do anything for a joke.
He will.
Those are my favorite people that do not care about what they look like. Because some actors are like, but I'll look stupid.
Right, yeah. I'm like, for anything funny.
Anything.
I'm a clown. Look at my face. This mouth. My name is Pancake. It's real. You think it's
wait,
been...
Wait, that's your government name?
Yes, ma'am. It's a German name.
I thought
name.
That was a stage name.
See, I'm happy to clear that up because it is German. It's... Okay, so it's Pfannkuchen is the German word for pancake. And in Germany, they were Pfannkuchen. And then my particular branch moved to Virginia in the 1740s, 50s. Okay. And so they slowly anglicized it to pancake, which is what it means.
Oh, did you do an Ancestry.com thing? How do you know this?
Yeah, my people, it's that thing of people who have been... It's white people who have been in a specific county because it's the same county I grew up in, and everything's traceable and trackable and all that stuff. And I have people, because it's such a weird name, because we're asked about it so much, it's like other relatives who are really into genealogy have done all the work.
Oh.
And Pancake, apparently, it's just like Schumacher or Smith or Wright, like other things that meant people who made Cooper, which is a barrel maker. I guess they made
really?
Pancake Baker. Yeah, Cooper is a barrel maker.
That's hilarious. My last name's Byer, so I guess bitches be shopping.
That's right. I've heard you say that before on
have
here.
I?
You were like Saks Fifth Avenue Byer.
Have I?
Oh, okay, you let
know,
me just, ladies.
So
and,
many episodes. Who knows what I'm ever saying anymore?
First of all, I cannot even begin to, because I said to you, I wrote you, and I was like, can may I please do this show because I love you so much.
If, and I adore you.
You're very sweet. Why won't you date me? Why won't you? It's an earworm. I love it. I've listened to so many. And when my friend, my bestie, Roz Dresdeveles was on, I was like, what?
Roz,
Daddy first.
Roz is wonderful. And that's how I met you.
That's right.
I did your show, Roz's
Humor
Glorial?
Hole.
Humor Hole.
Close enough.
At the Improv. And that was
and then
the
we,
first time I've seen a drag queen do a comedy show in a non-gay
right,
space.
Right, in like a basically straight comedy club, which is what Roz is trying to do, is
that.
Doing. Yeah,
loved it. It made me so happy because the audience was not just gay people. It was like a mix of people.
Yeah.
And I watched one man walk in and go, huh, is that a dude? And then he sat right down and was like, I'll get to the bottom of this.
I will solve this mystery.
I got to solve this.
And then we also do the Once Over, which I think you've also done, which is a comedy game show where I think you opened for us one time. It's kind of a What's My Line, but with comedians and regular quote-unquote people off the street. Which
that
we're doing again
fun.
On, should I say that now?
Yes.
September 14th, my dead father's birthday. Anybody interested?
Daddy birthday. My dead daddy birthday is September 18th.
Oh, that's very close. That's one of my nephews who's alive, thank God. His birthday is the 18th.
My mother's birthday is hard for me to remember because it sometimes would fall on Thanksgiving and then sometimes it wouldn't. So sometimes I'm like, I guess my mom's birthday is the third Thursday in November. But I was like, that's
not how
that's
birthdays work.
It's one day. And then sometimes, so I would have to go look it up. I would have to go.
So it's anywhere from like November 21st to 28th, probably.
Uh-huh. I'm a terrible daughter.
Wow,
but guess what? She did, so it don't matter.
I was born on Mother's Day, so I get mixed up because Mother's Day changes, but my birthday's always May 10th. Because I'm 5'10", and I'm also 5'10", height-wise. Thank you, God, for making it easy, because numbers are hard.
Numbers are hard.
Numbers are lit the worst.
Hi,
Nicole.
Hi. Sam, are you single?
Technically, yes.
Technically, a technicality.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I think something just ended. And I can't get, speaking of getting to the bottom of it, I can't get to the bottom of my top.
Wait, I can't get to the bottom of my top. So you were dating somebody.
Well,
fucking somebody.
Fucking somebody.
Okay.
Fucking me back and forth.
For how long?
Since September. But it's this dude that I've known since.
That's almost a year.
I know, right? So here's what I'm in the thick of. And I want to just announce to everyone that I am tech avail single and ready to tech avail mingle.
Because people will slide into your DMs.
Yes, yeah. And that's another sidebar is like how good Instagram has been for me in terms of dating.
For so many people,
okay, right?
It's good. For me, it is not. I am going on a date in November with a man who lives in Pennsylvania.
It's July.
I know. Well, he slid into my DMs about 2 months ago and was like, when you come to Pennsylvania, I'd love to take you out on a date. And I read my, the DMs from the people who
the
I
other
don't
people,
accept.
The mystery people. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because people will send me nasty things to read on the podcast. Yeah. So I'll try to go through them sometimes. And I was like, well, I haven't been on a proper date in a while. Why not? So I answered him. I said, sure. And then he was like, well, are you going to be in Pennsylvania any sooner? I was like, no. I've also given him one word answers. And if you listen to the podcast, the reason is I don't think you can get to know someone over text.
No, you can't.
I think that's a fallacy, a lie. Fake news.
Okay, you know what? That reminds me because this thing just happened, and I would like to take this to the court of public opinion.
Yes, please.
Because it's weird because I have talked on stage about the fuck buddy situation, which is what we're going to call the thing, but letting people know, also I am available to date because there was not an emotional thing with this fuck buddiness, which is why I term it successful because neither of us, I didn't fall into any kind of emotional thing because this is a very my patterns, cut off, emotionally cold person, mm-hmm. but great at the sex, which I think is so strange.
Yeah, I think that's the mark of a sociopath, where you can connect physically but not mentally.
Okay, but the other thing is, though, and I don't know how to phrase this, because I don't know what I can fucking say anymore. I'm an old man. Neurologically different.
Yeah, I think it's called neurodiverse.
Neurodiverse, thank you.
Is what I've learned.
Okay, so I think that is an element that he and I didn't talk about. Now, I went on a date a month or so ago with someone who was very open about their neurodiversity, and it did not go well for me at all.
Oh, may I ask what their neurodiversity was?
Autism.
Ah, I feel like I'm in comedy. I know a lot of people on the spectrum.
Exactly. Obviously, yeah.
But I don't think I've ever met someone fully autistic. I don't think.
This is the thing I'll tell you more about off camera.
Oh, sure.
Because it was a situation that I don't want to, this person clearly was, it's a different mindset that I wouldn't feel good like talking
about. Sure.
You know, humorously and lightly about and casually about. But that's not my fuck buddy. That's a different situation. Mm-hmm. But what I want to hit first upon, ladies and gentlemen, is this guy starts, follows me on Instagram. Beeps in, bops in, boops in, like does a little picture collage of me. Like I put something up of me in drag. He did a thing of like me and the drag and the eye. It's just like,
so he follows you on Instagram and then posts on his page pictures of you?
No, he sent me a DM of like this little photo collage he made. I'm like, oh, that's cute. I check it out. Oh, very handsome. Looks kind of like my ex. Not a bad thing, because my ex is very handsome.
Yes.
That's not why I broke up with him. So then, talking on DMs, he's very into film and like a lot of stuff in common, talking, and then he asked me to go to a movie with him at the end, this week actually, the end
Did
of July.
Did you see the Hollywood movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I saw it with Roz, with Gio.
Was it good?
On Sunday. It's, there's a lot there to enjoy. I live in Hollywood. My friend Ariane did the costumes. Like I remember driving by when they closed off a piece of Hollywood. There's so much in there, but it's also, I agree with the critics that it's very conservative in its views because it's middle-aged white straight man view of the way things used to be there. And there's like hippies and the beaners and the things like that are like, which is like, yes, people were like that then, but it's through that lens still.
Sure.
Which is like, but then also there are things happen, which I absolutely loved. And the acting's good. Like Kate Berland has a thing. There's like fun people in it.
Kate Berland. You can't
go wrong. She's absolutely adorable.
She's such a treat.
Margot Robbie's just a breezy breath of fresh. There's so many wonderful. Leo is, he's amazing.
It's because he dates children.
Oh, yeah, that's.
And then you forget that he's a pretty good actor.
He's like only dates 24 year olds, right? Or something.
He's
or less.
Only dated 24. Or when he was younger, I think it was like maybe he dated a 30 year old, but he hit his 30s and was like,
nope.
Children only.
I know. It's.
I don't understand what you talk about with a. Like, I remember being 21 and I remember not having anything valuable to ever say to a person.
Well, I remember thinking that I did, but
choices.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, there's a 25-year-old in the mix here in Pancake Land, too, which we'll get to that.
Oh.
But anyway, back
seems
to...
Seems like you're fucking a whole bunch.
We haven't fucked yet, but we've...
I'm very jealous.
Around. Listen, let me tell you something. I am in, like, this renaissance, and I am well over 45, my dear.
What are you doing to be in this renaissance?
Well, I'll get to that, but I want to finish up this one thing because I want to have your opinion on it because I'm still a little bit angry.
Okay.
So, dude starts, he asked me to a movie.
Yes.
We're talking deep movies, Criterion. He's really into the following on Instagram. He's like, here's my number. Text me.
Okay.
I'm almost positive. I could check, but I'm sure he was the one who's, here's my phone number. We start texting for like a solid week. And then I say, why don't we have a dinner first? Because I don't want to wait till this was 3 weeks. I don't want to wait to the end of July. Let's get to know each other first. And I'm glad I did because then he was talking about this or that with the Cats trailer the day everything was about the Cats trailer.
Oh my God. What a treat that trailer is.
Oh my, that's a whole other podcast.
Oh.
So then he was like, I don't know if I can get through this without drinking. And I was like, but I don't drink. And I'm like, pills? Like I made pill. Thank God for that pill emoji. And I'm a sober person too. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But like used to really super not be sober at all ever. So, and he was like, oh, I don't have any, but my BF does. And I was like, wait, this is after a week of texting.
Yes.
No indication anywhere on any of the social media of a boyfriend. And I said, wait, you have a boyfriend? I said, ha ha ha, laughy face, angry inside, really. You I said, you have a boyfriend. I said, this has been me flirting with you this whole time. Uh-huh. He was like, and I know. And it's, he said, literally, I know. And it's completely fine. I was so mad. And I was like,
whoa.
And he was like, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And he was like, wait, does this mean we can't hang out? And I'm like, yes. And this is me at my best with all my fucking recovery work and my therapy and my best self. I didn't say what I wanted to say. I said instead, no, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to go out with someone I'm attracted to who's off limits. I've had enough of that in my life.
Yeah.
I should have took responsibility, which is what we do as an adult, a mature adult. I said, I should have been more clear in my intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great life. And he was like, well, blah, blah, blah. And then that was that. And I want to tell you, like, I've had a lot of hookups to DMs and he mm-hmm. was doing all the things the way.
I mean, right? I would, whenever somebody slides into my DMs, I'm like, you can't possibly think I'm going to be your fucking friend from the internet.
Thank you.
Like, I've never, like, sure, I've seen people on, like, the internet and been like, ooh, you seem cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to DM them to be like, let's hang out. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, thank you.
If I'm going to DM somebody, it's truly like, I'm going to shoot my shot. That's important. Yes. I'm going to shoot my shot. Maybe I'll try to run into the person in real life to make a friendship happen. But also, I have enough friends.
Me, three. Yeah. I'm a billion years old. I got it covered.
Yeah. I've had people, like, there's been like two, three, maybe four people who've slid into my DMs and been like, can I take you out on a date? They said D-A-T-E.
Yeah.
Date. To me, a date is romantic.
Yes.
Friends don't go on fucking dates.
Thank you.
I hang out with my friends. I see my friends. I chill with my friends. I don't fucking date my friends.
I don't make out with my friends.
No.
Yeah.
So then this last guy, I was like, are you talking romantic date or what? Because he looked kind of gay. Not to be rude, but he was very sure. pretty and well-groomed.
Gotcha.
Straights sometimes are disgusting, most of the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I have a boyfriend. Me and my boyfriend want to take you out on a date. And I was like, that's not a date. Great. And he was like, oh, did I mess up? And I was like, and I didn't answer. And I was like, you should, like, how dare you?
Yes.
How dare you get me excited for 36 seconds? How dare you?
Yeah.
Oh,
and when 36 seconds is actually a week?
Yes.
I was dumb, though. I should have said something up front. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in my head, I was already like, boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, boom.
I mean, yes.
Which is crazy. And I'm already sleeping with a couple of people.
I mean, I feel like whenever there's a chance for a deeper connection where you're like, this is new, this is exciting, you're like, and we're going to get married. That's at least how I am. I'm always jumping to conclusions. If a conclusion was a trampoline, I'm on it.
Me three.
I'm right there, just jumping right on it, being like, this is going to end beautifully.
I'm over there at Sky High. Is that what it's called? Jumping from trampoline to trampoline and falling in the pit of mushy styrofoam blocks.
So how are you meeting people? I've been trying to meet people in person. I was just in Montreal. I'll tell you something. Not one person in Montreal looked at me like I could be sexual.
Really?
Not one person. Sometimes I get some like old dudes, like old white men here in the States love me.
Yeah, including me.
They can't get enough of me. I had one old man say, so I tell this joke about skinny dicks or whatever. And during this meet and greet, he was like, if you ever want a skinny dick, I'll give you one. And his wife was like, come on. And
his
wild. Oh, people lose their minds like after dark, especially old people. Like I always say, midnight at a wedding, the old men are like, you're exotic and I just got to get my fingers on you.
Midnight at a wedding. Mm-hmm. That's also when the drunk dudes, I've had that at weddings too, like, oh, when straight dudes are like, my dick's really big, man.
Uh-huh.
If you like a big dick,
which
I
is
got
like,
one.
So insane. Because if you like talk to him about it the next day, you're like, no, I didn't say that. I
was
I was on a trip and there was some gays, some straights, and I knew the gays. I didn't really know the straights. And the straight dude was talking to my friend's ex and he was like, yeah. If I was into dudes, you'd be my type, just little tight and tanned. I was like,
and clearly thought about it
fully, like without. But then I also enjoyed that, like he wasn't like hammered or anything. He had like a couple of drinks and was just like, "This is how I feel."
Well, I think a lot of guys, I like that. A lot of guys probably feel that way. I know exactly the kind of women that I like, even though I'm so gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I that's just fucking the way I was born. I can't help it.
I'm excited for that to be the new norm.
Yes.
That, like, dudes are comfortable enough in their sexuality that they can look at another man and be like, he's cute.
Yeah.
And I like his outfit.
Yeah.
I think that maybe I'll do that.
Yes.
Right? I just want men to be comfortable in their masculinity. And also, like, you could suck a couple dicks and go right back to ladies, and, like, it's not an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah.
Maybe you'll find out you love it.
Yeah, I remember my friend who, this is, oh, we get pretty graphic here. My yes. friend who directs porn.
Yes.
Gay porn.
Uh-huh.
For Randy Blue. He worked for them for a while, but he was talking about guys who come there. And first of all, if you're even gay for pay or whatever, I'm sorry. I think of people like my brother-in-law, who's the straightest guy I know, mm-hmm. also the coolest guy with any kind of sexuality. He ain't going to be sucking a dick anytime soon. It's just like he's completely.
Uh-huh, that's just not for him.
It's not for him. And there's a lot of straight dudes like that. And then these guys who like, you know, oh, I think it's a career option. I'll make maybe, I don't know, $1,500.
I don't think it's that much, which I think is really insane.
Exactly. But my friend was saying, it's someone you might know too, actually. He was like saying these guys who come like, oh, no, no. He's like, as the minute they start sucking a dick, they get get a boner. And they're like, they don't know till they tried it. Literally didn't know they liked it till they tried it. So
my
that's
friend
up there
Mateo
too.
Has a joke about that.
Mateo Lane? Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember what the joke is. Also, I don't want to like tell his joke on right. my podcast.
But look it up. Look him up,
if you
folks.
Ever see Mateo Lane or you see him, he's coming to a city near you, go see him.
But my fuck buddiness. This mm-hmm. is in the renaissance of my middle-aged life. First
Wait,
of all,
how
here's,
old are you?
Here's some history. I'll tell you off camera.
Okay.
But I'm going to go like this right now, just so you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. And okay. You don't look that old. Also, the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't know what anybody's supposed to look
exactly.
like.
Exactly. The reason, and this is something else, like I had this guy, this younger guy who's like, has a supposedly a wit and a pundit and like a Twitter person who was so mean to me recently at an event. I'll tell you who it is after because I'm still fucking mad at this guy.
Okay.
He said to me, I mistake.
Wait, say who it is and I can make a noise and we can bleep it out.
Take that out.
Can you honk
Marissa.
It? Or honk it with that, Marissa?
Anyway, at
Thank
an event
you.
Thing, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the whole story, and I won't go into too much of who he is because I need to speak to him about this personally. It was so okay. mean. I made the mistake of saying, because here's my platform is like, I'm this older gay dude. Uh-huh. When I was in my 20s, the gay men I knew were in the closet or sick or dead.
Oh, God.
Because of AIDS. Yes. I'm that old. So, and I'm lucky and I'm everything's good here
Can
and
I
I'm healthy.
Can I ask a question about that? I've never spoken to anyone I don't think who was alive during that period. Was it terrifying?
It was so terrifying now, Nicole, that I might literally start crying. I literally didn't realize until now that like there's prep and things are totally different.
Yeah.
How terrified I was mm-hmm. that I sublimated so much of it because mm-hmm. I started fucking like after we knew to wear condoms.
Okay.
And if it had been 5 years earlier, I might not be with you right now. So with that in mind, and knowing I'm a man in my 50s mm-hmm. who's lost lots of people, including mm-hmm. my boss and my uncle and shit. So this guy, oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We don't have to talk about it.
No, I want to say this.
Okay.
No, I don't mind crying.
It's I do like, think it's because I do have a lot of gay listeners, gay men listeners, yeah. who I don't understand. I don't think they understand how intense this Same. Period of time was.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance to... You could watch The Normal Heart. That could give you like a pretty good
gauge.
Look into it.
Yeah.
But if you could see it live, ooh, fuck, man.
Because
oof.
I worked in commercial casting in the 90s, and I had two bosses, and they were a partnership, mm-hmm. but open in terms of romance. And my one boss, who's still with us and still a friend, negative still. And mm-hmm. his partner slowly died in the bedroom while I was in the office, and I, like literally Ugh. Watched him die.
Oof.
And beyond that, and we weren't that super close, but my mm-hmm. friends, and I've lost so many people. You artist, party,
yeah.
creative.
I think about it now. I, as an entertainer,
yeah.
who knows like a ton of drag queens.
Yeah.
Who also like, you know, people be fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like low-key fucking things, people that you didn't think yeah. they were fucking. I'm like, I would probably have lost so many people.
You absolutely would have, yeah. And you know, so... Yes. Yeah, so this gay guy mm-hmm. who's probably in his early 30s, I made the mistake of saying to him at one event, like how old I actually was. Because my whole thing was like, I'm an older gay guy. I want to be a good, mm-hmm. even this one man show I do, my kind of platform is like, I want to be the good older gay actor, comedian, role model that I never had.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have that. And I had to, when I got sober and tried to become a better person, all this shit. I was like, instead of just trying to fuck the kid, you know, which mm-hmm. that's lining up nicely too. But like, I want to be like, and I do that for a lot of my younger friends, like, mm-hmm. you know, advice and whatever. And so this guy was like, oh, at the first time he was like, oh, I knew you were a little bit older than us. I knew you were a little bit of an older gay, but I didn't know you were that much older. And I'm like, oh yeah, well I am. And I realized I shouldn't have said that. I don't even know why I said it in the first place. And then I saw him this other thing, and he looked over at my phone. He's like, why is your text so big? I was like, because I need to see it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you're so old. How old are you again? I can't believe how fucking old you are.
Good Lord.
And I was like, said my age, and he was like, oh, my God. He's like, I'd rather – and he was like, I can't believe you're that old. I never want to be that age. And I said, honey, the thing is, you'll either be my age one day, this number, or you'll be dead. He's mm-hmm. like, I'd rather be dead than how old you
Damn.
Are. This person said that to me at a nice fancy dress affair. So mean. And I get that people are insecure or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was like shocked by that.
Was
and I
wanted to be a tinge of whimsy?
There was no whimsy in it. There was no okay. It was not, and I know there's that funny thing, and I probably said it myself uh-huh. when I was younger too. But there seemed to be so much anger underneath it. Uh-huh. And I don't know what that was about. And I wanted to be like, bitch, I think of my friends who they wish they were alive today.
Yeah.
And you was this like out gay man, proud and like, you know, a cultural leader or whatever, mm-hmm. is like, how fucking dare you? Maybe it's like ageist.
That's
is not cool.
Rude.
Yeah.
I would talk to him about it. I'd just be like, you said this thing. It really stuck with me. Yeah. I didn't love it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And don't do it to anyone else because it's
yes.
like, of all the isms, ageism's one of them. And literally, you will mm-hmm. be my age or dead. There's no escape.
Ageism's so interesting to me because men typically get to just age and then
yes.
women just die.
Right. Like women get punished for aging.
Truly. I read this article, or not read, I saw a headline that the new Top Gun, the woman who played Tom Cruise's girlfriend,
Kelly McGillis,
isn't in it. And she was like, oh, I'm too old and fat and I look age appropriate. And I was like, ooh, get him, get him.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I saw a picture of her and I was like, yeah, she does look like a mom. But like, also that's how they still fuck. They're
yeah.
still sexy. Like people, yeah. We've got this like weird idea of sexy where I'm like, everyone is sexy to somebody.
Exactly. And that's why I've been meeting these guys who like don't mind. Like that's the other thing that's good about being my age now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got to be honest with you. I remember being 24, dating a 32-year-old and being like, oh my God, he's so old. Sadly, also he died. This specific guy, not mm-hmm. to be a bummer, but that's the way it was, kids. So fucking honor we went through. So then I wasn't looking for at older guys. And of course, again, everything was different because mm-hmm. of the disease. And now, like these 20s and 30s, they're like coming to daddy. And I'm like, okay, daddy's here. Like this 25-year-old that I cuddle, he like wants to cuddle all the time and fool around. We met at freaking DragCon. He was dressed like this gorgeous leather encrusted angel. He was like, and he literally, this is...
Straight people do not have those stories.
No, they don't. And he was like, wait, because I saw him the first time. I was with my friend Ann's mom. She's like, oh, my friend Mark's got a boot and sock fetish. I got to take a picture of this guy. And so it's a whole other story. Her mom came in from Detroit, and I escorted her about DragCon. And then later in the day, he's like, hey. He's like, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, we met earlier. And mm-hmm. he was like, no, you're from Charmed. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was on Charmed.
You were on Charmed?
I was.
For how many episodes?
Just one.
Oh.
I was.
Because I was like, I've seen every episode of Charmed.
Seriously? Okay.
I loved Charmed.
Do you remember when Chris Sarandon, also from West Virginia and so sexy, he played the necromancer who was romancing the grandmother?
Yes. Yes.
I was his assistant demon.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I think I remember that episode.
2003 or 2004 bat, not a great hair situation, uh-huh. like a, kind of a long bob. Don't know what that was about. But anyway, this guy was like,
wait, was that before or after what's her name left?
It was Rose years.
Oh, okay.
Because Rose literally got my name off the call sheet and called me at home, which you're not supposed to do no matter what.
Insane.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean,
we're pals, me and Rose. Haven't seen her in a minute, but
she interesting.
Yeah, she is indeed. So he was
I saw her in a restaurant. Wearing a full, like, pajamaed onesie with no shoes on.
Recently?
And I was like, yep.
Okay.
And I was like, I know there's footies on there, but you out in the world, you got to put on a shoe. Yes. How come nobody said to you, no shoes, no service? Like, you got to go home and get shoes. I was
That's
fully floored.
That's not even a slide. They're a sandal.
And she was really holding court and, like, basically screaming. I was like, uh-huh. homegirl's truly going through it.
Uh-huh. That's all I'm going to say is, So this kid, when we finally go back to my place, eventually after a few dates, he was like, mm-hmm. first of all, young. He's like, do you have Netflix? I'm like, I do. Rich. Wealthy.
He's yes, like, I have $14.99 disposable income.
Any more questions? Mm-hmm. Guess what else? I got Hulu.
Hulu.
And Amazon Primo.
What?
So he was like, hey, can we watch Charmed? Can we watch your episode? And I was like, absolutely not. And then he was like, can we watch Charmed? I was like, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. And
that's
then he was like,
wild.
He's like, do you have, can we, this other movie I'm in on Netflix? I'm like, no, we can't. We can go to the bed now and you shut your mouth.
That's weird. Is that like a kink he had?
He
wants to watch you on TV and then fuck you in real life?
I think so, kind of.
Oh my God.
He's a person. We're still hanging, so whatever. Because at first I was like, I don't know about this. Oh my God, I don't think he'll listen to this.
Okay. He will if he wants to fuck you and watch you on TV.
Yeah.
But we do have to take a break.
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
We're back.
That's how you do it.
It's a nice little break. We did it. An ad ran. Don't know what for.
Probably for some.
I hope it's for Quip. It's my favorite.
I'm waiting for my Quip right now because I work too hard on my Quip and I you know, it's just like lightly diddly diddly diddly.
Oh.
I brush on it. And so it's crumpled down and I need a new Quip. I need my new Quip, Quippy.
Oh, I love my Quip. Although I installed the battery wrong so it doesn't vibrate right now. But I'm waiting for my new brush head to come in.
Oh, okay. So I'm waiting for my new brush head, too. Can't you flip the battery?
Oh, shit.
Just flip it. Bring it in and I'll do it. I become that guy, too. Like, my friend James, who's also 27, down. He's like, can you come kill this bug? I was like, it's a spider. I'll take it out. I'm not going to kill
it.
Sam,
I'll tell you, it's really exhausting being me. My whole thought process was, well, you put it in wrong, so you'll just wait for your new brush head and the new battery. And it never occurred to me that I could just turn the battery around.
Yeah. You push the thing, you know how you tilt it. And
oh,
pull
I
it
know.
Out. Okay.
It just never occurred to me.
I have moments like that too, so I completely, computers still baffle me. I'm a peephole in that way.
It happens all the time.
The thing is, you're a very successful, thriving businesswoman and you need not worry. And you have John Milheiser come and fix it.
I do, but he is currently on vacation.
Oh, right, with his handsome boyfriend, Jack.
Yes, yes, yes.
John
they're
was,
at the shore.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
John was the first adult I played the parent of.
Really?
In his web series, Dog Walkers, me and Angela Kinsey play his parents.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. I was also in Dog Walkers.
Yes, because I saw them.
Oh, boy. When a friend shoots something in your home, you have no choice. You'll be in it.
You got no choice. I've shot so many. That's because as I told you, I live in busy Phillips Guest House and I'm moving out at the end of August, all loving and amicable, all good. Mm-hmm. But we've shot, I was like, at least I have these viral videos and these web series I've shot in this guest house to last forever.
I now don't let him shoot anything at my house because my house is very recognizable, like if he shot the exterior of
it. Got it, yes, yeah.
Which I'm picky about who's in my house, but I'm also like not picky, if that makes sense.
I completely understand.
There's enough room in my house where he can have people over and I have my space.
Got it, yes.
Go into another, so like I watched the first couple episodes, but then like later in the run, I like had to do work. So
sure.
I was like, I'll just be in my room working. You guys, be as loud as you want. I don't fucking care.
That's good, yeah.
I'm so loud in my house. I'm sure my neighbors hate me.
It's your house.
I'm loud.
Okay. Are they close? Or are they like a yard away? A lawn away.
The two houses next to me are pretty close. And then the house behind me has their whole backyard.
Got
within
it.
Their house.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And then there's like children somewhere. Because like I hear their twinkling laughter.
And you want to squelch it.
Yeah. One time, I was wearing a wig cap. My wig wasn't on yet because I was still getting dressed. Face full of makeup. And we heard something on my porch. And I was like, what is that? And then John was like, there's children.
On the porch? Was it Halloween?
No. And I just appeared in the window from where you could see me at the porch. And I'm bald headed, but made up. And I went, what do you want? What are you children want? Like, I'm the crazy woman on my block. And then they were like, we need a... And I was like, I can't hear you. Then I went to my front door and I have a peephole that's not like a peephole. It's like a literal
click,
window.
Click.
Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can swing the window open and you can like see people.
Yeah.
And I like opened it and I was like, what? What do you want? And they're like, we were flying a drone and we think it's in your backyard.
What?
Yeah, the kids in my neighborhood have drones. So I was like, oh, look. So then I'm cackling uncontrollably because I like finally realized that I'm insane.
Mm-hmm.
So then I like looked at my backyard, didn't see it. And I was like, it's not here. Which house are y'all bringing if I find? And they're like, two houses down. I think, you ever see The Sandlot? I'm James Earl Jones.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, fair enough. Smalls.
Yeah, and now I saw one of the kids recently, and she truly paused before passing me. I was like, she's scared of me, and I like it.
Perfect. Busy Mark, I have two kids that I'm constantly seeing around, and I've done the same thing where I have been in drag getting ready for something, wig cap on, and stuck my head out the window, and because they live in that circus up there, usually they don't bat a lash, you know? And my nieces and nephews, like, I didn't have toys at my house, and when they would come over to the pool, I mean, they have their own pool. When they were little, they would come over, and I was like, Uncle Sam has no toys. He's got a big bag of wigs. It's pageant time. So I made them, they're too old now because they're like 17, 15, and 12. But like, I'm like, wig up. You have a name. I want to hear your name. I want to hear your talent. We're going to march around the pool in a giant Dolly Parton wig.
That's fun.
I mean, that would have been my dream. That. They were, of course, Sally, I think all my nephews are straight.
Yuck.
I know.
If I had a child, a little boy, he would have to come out to me and be like, Mom, I like girls. And I'd be like, I'm devastated. I don't know who you are or who you belong to.
It's like Edith Massey in Female Trouble. The life of the heterosexual is a sick and boring life.
Have you seen, it's a John Waters movie.
Probably. Oh, I've seen them all.
Desperate Living.
Desperate Living. Oh, yes.
I'm a thin eye on face.
That's right.
Man.
Gene Hill. Yep.
I discovered.
Bitch at the air. Bitch at the trees. But don't bitch at me.
I discovered John Waters in my first semester of AMDA.
Oh,
the American
yes.
Musical and Dramatic Academy.
It's down the street from me.
Used to not claim me. Now they claim me because I've mentioned it too many times and I'm devastated. So whoever runs it, please take my name off of it.
Oh, shit.
I don't want you to claim me. I love that you didn't claim me.
Oh my God.
I learned nothing.
Really? Interesting.
No, it was a terrible school. And it was sued for saying they were accredited.
I went 4th of July, I went to my sister's house and one of her mom friends, the kid, was like, I just got accepted at AMDA. Oh. And I had just listened to your podcast calling it Scammed. But this was a situation, this kid, I was like, God bless. Mm-hmm. I didn't say a word.
I mean, when I heard it was
it's
called
expensive.
It's so expensive for being what it is. I literally learned nothing. I like I went in with the same tools and left with the same tools. The only thing that I learned that has been valuable in my career was Dan Daly was my theater teacher. He said, Nicole, I don't find you dangerous on stage, and I know what you're gonna do before you do it. It seems mechanical. And I was like, oh. So now when I do stand-up, I try to surprise myself with my movements.
Oh.
And when I'm acting, I try to really, like, put myself as the character in that environment.
Yeah.
And, which, I mean, obviously. But I'm like.
But easier said than done.
So, like, I touch my microphone a lot when I'm podcasting.
Yeah.
So I try to think in that way. Like, what small, weird, or not weird, what small humanizing things can I do
specifics.
For this person?
Specifics.
Yeah. And, like, one thing I can think of is on The Good Place, anytime something weird happened where my character was responding to it, I would try to, like, tilt my head a little bit. And that was my way of thinking as opposed to looking up because that's
it,
not
yeah.
a real people don't really do that.
No.
So I like just tilt my head to think and then swing it back to say what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So Dan Daly taught me that. And
okay.
that was. And then also he said, you're all types. You're all stereotypes. It's not a thing I made up. It's the way of the world. If you don't like your type, you could change it. You're well within your means to change your body. And he was like, look at yourself naked. What you don't like, change it. And I was like, that's the best piece of advice I think you
true.
Can give somebody.
Yeah, I learned
even if
it when
you're
I
not
worked
an actor.
Yeah. When I worked in casting, which was my last day job, like in the nine from like 88 to 97, I learned like we're all of us. It's a commodity, your objects, especially in commercials.
Oh.
You have this type and you have to like line up with that. And that's the other thing is like I don't like to bitch much about my career except to like peers that get it because we know what we entered into.
Yeah.
We know the arena.
Mm-hmm.
No one forced us.
No.
And I guess, you know, of course we can all bitch and complain and like try to make things better. And I only bitch and complain on set or at work if I see someone who's in power abusing someone who's not in power.
Yes.
And if someone who makes less money than me, especially I am so out of my way to be, I mean, I'm sure I had a moment or two, but the PAs, the ADs, everyone.
I'm nice to all those people because you don't, well, not just because. One, you don't know where these people are going to end up. Two,
and I've seen that a million times. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, two, it's just easier. We're all there for 12 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Some
Why?
Of them are there longer.
Yeah.
You know, just be nice.
Yeah, they had to get there before you, and they're going to be there after you at the day, and they're tired. We're all tired.
Yeah, we're all tired. I'll say this, though. When an AD fucks up the scheduling, when I'm like, you don't have to call me in this early.
Oh, yeah, that's fucked.
Then I'm like, I want to have a conversation.
Indeed.
And I want to know what exactly you're doing.
That is absolutely valid.
It's not my place. I'm on hold for the day.
Oh.
So technically, you have me all day.
Yeah, I've become way more bold later, being like, exactly what time do we think I'm going to be out? Like, if I'm up in Vancouver, you got me. I got nowhere to be. Like,
what are you shooting in Vancouver?
A Million Little Things, which is an ABC show that I recur on.
Yes.
I just came up with something today. I don't want to say it. I came up because I came directly from therapy over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm playing this, and I'm so grateful, and ABC, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't say this. It's fine. The character I play is a gay man who's an assistant. I thought I'd aged out of assistant. I hadn't. To a woman played by Grace Park, who I absolutely adore, but it's so far the character, and I hope he gets to grow, and I'm grateful for anything, is like magical homo helping the straight lady with her life.
Ah, yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And so my therapist said, it's like gay blackface. And I said, it's rainbow face. He's like, you're basically, oh, this is like something that's probably not appropriate. He's like, are you kind of her mammy? And I was like, not an appropriate thing to say, but yeah.
Well, the trope in script writing is called Magical Negro.
Magical Negro. That's why I said Magical Homo.
Like the Legend of Bagger Vance, where I believe Will Smith literally just appears to be like,
out of nowhere.
Here's some advice for you and your white life.
And there was another
right, goodbye.
There was another one that time too, because Spike Lee, I think, is the one who like came up with that. I mean, the termed it that. And there's another one that same year. There were two in a row, Bagger Vance and like, was Matt Damon in Bagger Vance?
I believe
so. It always
so.
Feels like it's someone like Matt Damon who like has the Matt. Anyway. Well, a lot of the things like Corinna are like, or The Help.
Uh-huh.
You know? Anyway.
Yes, The Help is fully
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever.
Yeah.
Sam, are you on the apps?
Okay, I was on Tinder for a minute, years ago, like right after I got sober. It was really hard to date, fuck, whatever, sober, because it was all new for me, because I'd never even kissed a boy, being a gay man who came of age in the 80s. I never even kissed a boy without booze in me, because it was all secret and like shame, in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So grew up on that, difficult, joined Tinder. And the good thing about Tinder was guys I already knew, it was an easy way for them to say, I would like to date you.
I
went out with twice, didn't take. Another one, like, again, this guy who I would marry him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even kiss. He just, like, I still am unclear on what the situation was.
It's annoying when, like, months, years later, you're like, what was that?
Yeah. The other annoying thing is the guys from the 90s who tell me now, like, I had such a crush on you in the 90s. The 90s was my ugliest, not cute. Like, I didn't look, watch old commercials and see this guy, or watch TV. Like, not some real not great looks. And like, I'm like, why didn't you say it then?
I don't think I've had anyone ever be like, I was so into you.
You're still young.
I'm so young.
But date-wise, I'm on Scruff. I don't check it. And I... Grindr, but then my drag queen friends, and I'm doing Golden Girls Live now.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you get a chance to see Golden Girls Live, it's at Casita del Campo.
I think this will come out by the time it's over, but like we do it twice a year.
It's truly just y'all learn the lines and do an impression, and it's so funny.
I don't even know if you call what I do an impression, but yeah,
I
do,
I Sophia. So. I'm so
Sophia.
Funny.
Thank you. I don't. I was doing okay in real life, like this fuck buddy situation, which I haven't even talked about. Fuck buddy thing was like known him for years. He reminded me last fall, we made out once in front of Akbar after the bar closed, and you were like, kind of the after party. And I said, this is him. He's like, I said, I have my bike. And I was like, bye. I was like, stupid. I made out with a lot of people and don't remember it.
Oh, that's what alcohol does. It makes you bolder. What is
sexy.
It? You better be bold. You better be
wise. You better be home.
Like, you're not wise when you're drinking. You're just bold. But I got this message on Hinge.
Ooh.
So this person liked my picture, and I invited him to chat. He said, hi, thrilling. I said, hi back, because I'm going to put in the same effort you put in. And then he said, are you a humorist?
What? What is this, the 1930s and you're Garrison Keillor?
I don't know that reference. But I was like, a humorist?
That's an old-fashioned way of saying a comedy writer.
Yes. And then I looked through his profile again, and I made the mistake of not scrolling through everything, and he's holding a microphone in a picture.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, he's a humorist, and he thought that was funny.
Oh.
And then I got this man liked me, and then he sent me a message and said, Clyde, my dog, is the most handsome pup in the whole world. But based on Instagram stories, I have to prefer Charlie, my other dog. And I was like, what a wild first message to send somebody. Like, I know I talk about my life a lot. I know that a lot of information about me is out there in the world. But you don't have to regurgitate it back to me in a way that creeps me the fuck out.
Okay, yeah.
Because then I'm like, how do I talk to you if you already know everything?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had my last big boyfriend, like, it wasn't until like a month or two in, because he pretended not to know, like, who are you? And then he said something about some show I was on. I'm like, excuse me? And he was like, I know this and that. And the other half, IMDb. I know all this shit. You know, but like, just be honest. I don't know. That's creepy, though. That's a different thing.
Yeah, I didn't
That's
like.
That's personal.
It felt weird.
It feels invasive.
Still feels weird.
Yeah.
I haven't matched with him. But I'm still leaving it there to just be reminded how much I don't like it.
Okay, good. Is he attractive?
For me, I don't want to say because I don't know if he listens to this podcast.
Got it. Okay. He probably does.
I mean, yeah. And then also he prefers the worst dog.
Oh, okay. Well.
Charlie's so dumb.
Is he?
Oh, he doesn't even know how to fetch.
Oh.
I've had him for 6 years. For six years, I've been trying to teach him how to fetch.
It's not going to happen.
You'll throw the ball and he'll run after it and run past it. And then he'll come back empty handed.
Is
and you're
he blind?
Like,
maybe a little bit blind?
No. He's not blind. He's just lazy.
Well,
and, like,
I relate.
Just like doesn't want to learn anything. He's really stubborn. He's like a pensive teen. Like, I taught him how to lay down. So you go lay and he'll like stare at you and you go, Charlie, lay. And then he'll like go, ugh.
What's in it for me?
Slowly slide a paw down. Slowly slide the other one out and then lay down.
That sounds adorable in a way.
No.
Nope.
I need you to lay down now for a treat.
Wait, I have a question.
So eager to learn. What?
Do you know about Badu? Have you heard of that?
Erica?
No, not Erica. And I think it's spelled differently, though I did see Chara once at the Aladdin in Las Vegas, and Erica Badu was sitting next to me. I got a lot of those stories.
What a treat.
It was a night of a dreams. Anyway, no, my drag queen friends, they're on it, and they, like, hook up with, like, straight guys on it. That's a whole conversation that I am just now learning about, so I am kind of ill-equipped. But it's very interesting, these stories and the pictures. However, what is the difference between, like, Hinge and Bumble? I'm not on any of those.
Okay, well, Hinge is... Allegedly, I think it was supposed to be like friends of friends on Facebook, but I don't have Facebook. So I think it's just like, it's an app where there's pictures, like little opening lines, icebreakery things.
Okay.
And then you can like someone's photo and then that notifies the other person and then they can match with you and they can say goodbye. Bumble, just pictures. Maybe there's icebreakers there now. I think they took something from Hinge. You can like them, and then if you match, the woman has to initiate the conversation. And
all
if
right.
you are,
do they have gay version?
They
have
do.
Gay too.
And then I think it's just like a free for all, whoever wants. You know, Tinder, and then Coffee Meets Bagel. You have to earn beans.
See, that shit I only learned about on this podcast, and that's some bullshit. Wait, what?
I hate Coffee Meets Bagel.
No, I
you have, and they keep emailing
disapproved.
Me, being like, "You haven't used it in a while." I'm like, "Yeah, because I'm tired of earning beans." And then there's
beans. That's just farts.
Woo Plus Buster. That's for the fatties. Raya for the DJs and Australians.
See, I got accepted to that, and I learned it because my friend got on that, and they were like, "Welcome aboard," and I was like, "No, I'm not. I don't know. It feels tacky."
Yeah, I don't. I didn't. I don't like it.
Because remember, it used to be quote-unquote
allegedly.
Celebrities.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but now, like, I heard from this podcast, Australian DJs.
I'm like, I don't know. I hear Brad Pitt's single, and I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay, he's so fucking hot
if
in this movie.
If anybody knows Brad, tell him I'm cruising for him.
I just did a movie with Jennifer last year before last, and I said, remember we did Friends together? And she was like, no.
LOL. When an actor doesn't remember me from something else, I never mention the other thing.
Can I just tell you something though? Like, this is the one where, like, Jennifer Aniston is someone who I've always had, like, a special crush in my heart. I did Friends a couple times the first time, and this is why I thought she'd fucking remember, and I didn't say it in Atlanta when we were doing Dumplin', but she was so nice to me. And I got there, and I had just done Curb Your Enthusiasm, and she's still with Brad. So I walked, and I knew Schwimmer for a couple years before, so that wasn't that big of a deal, but it was still very intimidating. That was like, it still is. It's such a big deal. And I auditioned a million times, and I finally got on. And it was one of those things, they walk you right over to set over there at Warner Brothers. And she, Jennifer herself, came up to me and said, like, oh, Sam Pancake, it's so nice you're here. And I was like, then I was like, what? She was like, oh, you just played, because I'd done Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the one that played my wife was Lisa Kudrow's cousin, little known to me, Taya Mann, who later became Courtney's producing partner for Cougar Town, starring Busy Phillips, in whose house I live, Hollywood Small World. Anyway, she was like, oh my God, we just saw you playing cousin Taya's husband on Curb Your Enthusiasm. You were so funny and great. It's so great to have you here. So warm and welcoming. And all I could think was, did Brad see me? Did Brad see me? Did Brad see me? What did Brad say? And then I did another one, but I didn't really work with her. And then, like, on it's a long story, but anyway, she was so nice about it. But I didn't expect her to, like, I've got plenty of friends that are like, have not plenty, but enough friends, like, I've done a million episodes and they don't remember shit. Like, you're tired, you're blah, 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 even though that's the easiest schedule in the world, as you well know, the multi-camera.
Yeah.
But she was like, whatever, she didn't
remember. I wish I liked doing multi-cams.
So you don't like it?
I don't like them.
You don't like watching? Because I don't want to watch them, but I like doing them.
I don't love doing them.
Interesting.
I think the audience is too easy. So, like,
well,
when
that's
you're,
true.
You know, when you're doing stand-up, you have to, like, work for the laughs.
Oh, yeah.
On a multicam, you have a warm-up comic, and then in between each scene, he's like, so, everybody who's from Pennsylvania, make some noise. And they're like, I love Pennsylvania. It's like, and then you, like, they're like, all right, we're going to go for another take. And then you're like, honk, honk, honk. And they're like, ah!
And lowest common denominator's karaoke song, I'm feeling hot, hot, hot. Who's feeling hot, hot, hot? Yeah, it's like a wedding band.
It's
Yeah, bless.
It feels a little too manufactured for me.
Absolutely. And I've been in a lot of them, and back in the day of the heyday on the Will and Graces and the Kings of the Queens and the Friendses, where it was like Friends, like, they would get legit laughs in the room, such as it is. But then on TV, it's so jacked up. And I mean, of course, I want to come back. But I did a few Will and Graces back in the day. And then which was fine and great and hooray for residuals. But now I was watching it, and they have that laugh track so jacked up that I couldn't get through it. It was hard.
Yeah.
But the schedule's so easy. It's
so,
so
easy.
And I like kind of doing a play. And also, it's the thing, like, not to toot my own horn, but, like, I was good at that format. And, like, not everyone is. And I still can do it. And there ain't as many as there used to be. Except for Disney, which I've also done, which is a whole other fucking animal.
Yeah, I just, also, it's, acting for multicam is different than acting for single cam.
Yep.
AMDA never taught me that.
No. See, that, because I went to Westford University Theater School. And the one thing that I was like, I got this amazing, truly, I learned later, like, Chekhov and Shakespeare, theatrical training to be like, if I wanted to be the king of North Carolina Regional Theater and play Richard III in Uncle Vanya, you know, and Restoration Comedy, but, like, nothing for camera. So I thought when I got here, I took camera classes. So I would think that something like that would teach you in the thick of Hollywood.
Well, I went in New York.
But still.
And their whole thing was like, you'll never get TV work in New York. It's just give me the tools.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had one teacher tell me that I made too many facial expressions to have a career in television.
Oh, my God.
Eat my dick, bitch.
Oh, my God. I had a teacher. I remember one review one semester was like, I don't think Sam will ever be a professional working actor. And that fucking drove me. I'll give her that much.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's dead and I'm still here. But also, I've given the commencement speech in my high school twice because I'm the only person that's left town. But, like, and I've used that story and it does help, you know. It's like it's only made me stronger.
I don't know if it drove me to do anything. I think I was just like, well, I guess I'll do theater. I don't, okay.
Well, as we all know, and that's the thing I admire about you kids, is like you're covering all the bases. You're doing the web series, the podcast, stand up, TV.
You know, gotta do everything. Yeah.
And that's why I feel like kind of a failure. Sometimes I'm like, I have these TV behind me, and thank God for residuals and unemployment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I haven't had a day job since 1997.
Nah.
But like, it's like the hustle never fucking stops.
It truly
never stops.
Never stops. Have you ever seen Joan Rivers' documentary?
Inspirational.
She hustled till she died.
Literally.
Really insane to be like, so it never gets better.
No.
For most people, it never gets better.
And the one thing I say to the young people when they ask, because it is the thing about being old, they're like, you have advice? And I'm like, no, quit. But then if you actually want to be helpful, it's just like, I wish I had made friends with the hustle, because I resented audition. This is me and having nothing under my belt. Resented auditioning. I wanted it handed to me. I know it's my privilege. I know it's my laziness. But like, I did not make friends with the fact of like, enjoy the audition. Enjoy the meeting. Mm-hmm. With the agents, get your fat ass up there, Pancake, and do some stand up, and I remember doing my first one man show in like 2000, and my agent was like, "You're gonna be 40." This is wow, God, I'm old. He's like, "You're gonna be 40 in a few years, and no one's gonna give a fuck about you."
Oh my God!
But he was generally super sweet and nice and ineffective, uh-huh. But like that scared me, and I got a deal out of my first one man show. That of course the show didn't go, but like it like. I have to be scared to work because I'm a lazy motherfucker.
I mean, I'm not lazy when it comes to my career, because I do look at auditions.
No, you are not.
I'm like,
I don't think anyone.
An audition is just a fun showcase. Mm-hmm. Even though I know, here's like the saddest thing I learned about auditioning. They're pointless. Most of the time, the offer is already out to somebody.
Yes, ma'am.
Especially if it's a series regular part or like a coast. Like,
yeah. And I say to my agents, find out, use your tools. Who is this out? Is it Billy Eichner again? Is it just going to be Billy Eichner? I don't need to go in and shake hands.
Yeah, if it's like somebody who has a little bit more clout than me, I'm like, well, I mean, I'll go in and maybe I'll be their backup if the deal falls through.
Yeah.
And that's literally what you're auditioning for. You're auditioning for the offer not to go through.
Yeah.
And it's
so
mind-numbing. I sat for 30 minutes yesterday at an audition where, sure, I arrived early for once in my life. I'll never do it again.
Mistake.
Never. And the casting director's door was wide open and was calling out actors by name, saying if they had star power, if they were flat in their reads, whether they should have them come back, how beautiful they were, what ethnicities they were. But don't worry, they don't have an accent. Who's dating who? For 30 minutes, I listened to this.
What?
And I was like, well, the women she's talking about are thin black women. I'm not going to get this part. And I don't even know if they were talking about the part I was going in for. But I was like, just the way they're speaking. I should have left. I should have like walked out and like really gone over my lines and like been like zen about this. But I kind of went in and was like, what's the point? And then we did it. And it was just an insane thing. Ugh.
Wow. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
One thing I do know now that I didn't used to do, because I somehow got some jobs back in the day when I was shitty, and I don't know why I got them. And I'm talking about TV sitcom co-stars, not big deals. Mm-hmm. But like now I memorize everything. Also because I can't see the paper in my hand because I'm old.
Well, honestly, I took a class and I got to watch when I had a show, rest in peace. When I watched auditions, I was like, oh, if you're reading, you literally look like you don't care.
Exactly. And I've been on that side to things too. Yeah. And you're like, yes,
you
completely.
Do not give a shit. And if you glance down, who cares? That's fine.
That's fine.
But like,
yeah.
Be in the moment. Yeah, yeah. People ask me for advice all the time. Memorize your fucking lines. It's 5 pages. Just do it.
Yeah. Or possibly less if you're me. Yeah. And even if it's, yeah. And they don't. Also, I didn't like, it took me forever for someone to teach me. And maybe I heard it and forgot. I'm not even medicated, but I'm probably ADHD. But like, if you're looking at the camera and I'm looking directly ahead and you want to put the other person, put them like millimeters away, like here to here. Because if you're like talking to this person, i.e. the casting director, and you're addressing another character and you go over here, you disappear on camera.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, baby.
We're running low on time.
Oh, I know.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, mom.
Would you date me?
I would date you. If you grow a penis.
Okay. Oh. All right. Okay. Fair.
Terms and conditions.
Fair.
No, but you know I'm crushed out on you.
Thank you.
Made that clear. I think we would be a cute match. I enjoy someone who's fun, who's funny, who's positive, owns a house.
It is nice, I will say, but it is work. There's a leak in my kitchen.
See, that's the thing where I'm like kind of guest house living. I don't need the responsibility, but I'm still in the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. I'm still in the house. Okay. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe. You can rate it. If you send me something nasty, I will read it. This nice person said, I want to gargle seltzer water and pretend to be an enema and spit it up your ass and slurp it out and fuck you till you squirt. Then I'll cry a little because pussies make my gay ass upset. I want to get you off. How sweet. Oh, also, I wanted to read this Bumble message. It is wild. This person sent it to me. So she said to him, I moved here from Miami in February. He says, sweet, a lot of Hispanics down there. She says, guilty as charged, LOL. Then he says, what's happening? How's your Saturday going? She doesn't respond because I would be probably offended.
Yeah.
Then he says, go ahead and unmatch me. Ignore somebody else. Then the day later, he goes, delete me by 5 today or I'll delete you. Then he says, probably don't have a green card. I ain't a meal ticket.
Oh, my God.
Isn't like we're living in Trump's America, baby.
Oh, God. It's everything that's wrong with the USA right now.
But like, here's the thing. She's not answering you, so you truly are not her meal ticket. Like, what a dumb way of thinking. All right, well, that's it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.